recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Nida brought to you by Beit Chobot Yerushalayim. Daf Samach Aleph, and we're holding the Halakha Mishnah right on the top line. So, yesterday we learned about Shalosh Nashim that were sleeping in one bed. If there's Dam underneath any of them, then they're all considered to be Tmeot. Our Mishnah opens with what appears to be a clear contradiction to the beginning of the Mishnah yesterday. Shalosh Nashim Shayu Yishenot B'Mita Achat. Once again, we open with three women sleeping in the same bed. Nimtza dam tachata emtza'it. Now all of a sudden we're discussing where. So if the dam is found under the middle woman, so then kulan tmeot. Why? Because there's enough movement in your sleep where you can switch places to the extent that one of them could have been a little bit over where the other one is currently found sleeping.
You get them on the sheet?
Yeah. And therefore, all of them could have been the source of that dam. If, however, it was tachat pnimit, let's say it's found under the woman who's closest to the wall, then only the two closest to the wall are tmeot, and the chitzonah, who's at the place where the bed is open to get into, is tahora. If the dam is found tachat chitzonah, then the two outermost sleepers are tmeot, shtayim chitzonot tmeot v'apnimit tahora, the one next to the wall, is Torah. Now, yesterday we said all of them are Tmeot, no matter where it's found. Eimatai. And when do we even say this? Only Bizman Shavuder Margalot Amita. When the three sleepers got into bed through the foot of the bed, rather than crawling over the sleeper who was at the edge of the bed. But if Imavuder Chalea, if they climbed over her sleeping, then they're Kulan Tmeot, because it could have come from any of them as they were climbing over. But ka'achat mehem. Now then, if one of them is bodeket herself after they find the ketem, and v'nimtzeit Torah, and she sees that there was no bleeding on her, so that she can assume that she is Torah, and then shtayim ha'tmeot, the other two are tmeot. If two of them were bodek themselves, v'natzu Torah, the two that were bodek themselves are considered to be Torah, and the shlishit is tmeot. But once Shlosh Tam Umatzu Torah, if all three check themselves and find that there's no Dam, then all become Tmeot. Just like we said yesterday, when you have a Safek, we cannot be Matayr one more than we can in the other. Lamada, by the way, you know what this is like? This is like a cairn that you knew there was a dead body underneath, a pile of stones. And then people forgot which pile of stones. There were two other pile of stones here. We forgot which one was. So the din over there is that if you have a gal tamei shenitarev with two galim that tori, now we don't know which one is which, but ku achat mehem, they check under one cairn and they find that there's nobody there. Right, you've seen that one is tar. The other one is tamei misafik. If you check under two, you find that they're tahar, then those two are tahorim and the third is the one that's tamei. If you check all three and there's nobody under any of them, then kulam tameim. They were Rabbi Meir, then they all become Tomei. Rabbi Meir Omer, look, Kodavar Shubh Cheskat Tumav, you know there was Tumah there, then you cannot say, well, I didn't find it. Lo Olamu Betumato, Achiv Adalach HaTumah Echani, until you can explain, well, where'd that Tumah go? You have to be able to find it, then you could say that it's Tor here. V'chachonim Omerim, V'chachonim say, now look, Bodek HaChamagel HaSela, Ola Betula, you check, didn't you? You went all the way down until you got to bedrock or until you got to ground that was clearly undisturbed. If it's not there, it's not there. Ask the Gemara, starting from the beginning, why is it that the Reisha of the Mishnah we learned yesterday, the Lomafik, it doesn't say where the Dam, Nimtza Dam Tachat Achat Mehem, any of the three, all of them are Tameah. Umayshnat Sefer the Kamafik, and why in the second part of the Mishnah do we say it depends where the blood was? Mishulavot, there's two really ways of understanding Mishulavot. Both of them fit. and therefore it really isn't important. One of the Mishnayot is talking about Mishulavot, meaning, according to Rashi, that the original Reish of the Mishnah we had yesterday is talking about when the sleepers are basically all over each other. So, you know, one of them is sticking this way, you've got the feet over the other one, right? So therefore, wherever the blood is found, it could have come from anybody. The other Mishnah is talking about when the sleepers are behaving themselves and everybody's in a straight row. But the truth is, Mishulavot could mean the opposite. Mishulavot achat alachotah means each one is straight and face parallel, like in the Mishkan. And that's what Tosfos says. Mishulavot means our mission is Mishulavot, where each sleeper is a straight line, basically. And therefore, we can distinguish where the blood came from. The most you can have is a little bit of movement in which the two next to the dam, they're the ones that could be talking about yesterday with the question of the grinder. The two, one of them can lean in and exchange position with the other. But kakat mean, and then it says, lamaze domeh, you know what this is like? This is like a pile of stones under him. Well, what kind of crazy thing is that to compare it with? There's nothing added by the comparison. So lamale lamitne lamaze domeh. What is this? No, you missed the point. Notice that in the second part of the Mishnah, it's talking about the cairns. The Chachomim argue, and they say, that if you checked and there's no tuma, then you don't have to worry about where the tuma is. But in the Reisha of the Mishnah, this Mishnah, they don't argue. So what actually is going on over here is that Rabbi Meir is bringing the Lamaze Domeh to point out to them that they're contradicting themselves. So, Hachikom le Rabbi Meir le Rabbanan, can you explain to me, Maishna bidam delo plegitu? When it came to the dam, you agreed with me. If you cannot account for this blood, then they're all tamayot. So, and when it comes to the lamaze domeh that I'm pointing out to you, there you say, well, you looked, there's no dead body there, so don't worry about it. So you can say that here too. You looked, there's no blood, don't worry about it. Maishna begal de plegitu, why is it that you're arguing to me with the earth, with the god, with the dead body? Rabbanan. Rabbanan said, look, Bishna Mahatam, you're talking about a place where there was tumah. Like the tumah might have been taken away by an animal, by a bird. I mean, I don't know. So Bishlam Altamema Orev Nitala. Avalhaka, you're gonna have to explain how the blood got there, not where it is. How did it get there? Meika Ata. I mean, it's reasonable it got there. For the fact that she's not bleeding now proves something. She was bleeding. So Tanya Omer, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, you know, look, I know of actual events when they checked. And you see, it didn't mean anything they checked. There was a famous big sycamore tree in Kfar Saba. There was a tradition that they had buried somebody there. There was some tumah there. And it was crazy. The Kohanim couldn't go there. So they were bodek the area to see whether it was there, and they didn't find anything. And then there was a hurricane in Kfar Saba. And Nashvabo Aruach, and tore up the tree, and there they find a skull at the bottom of the tree, mixed with the roots. So you see, you can check, and everything looks good. You don't realize that something is there. People are not telling you that there was a burial there, and then Stamet disappears. You're bringing a raya from an anecdote. What kind of crazy raya is an anecdote? Mishom raya. So they weren't bodek the way they should have been bodek. What are you proving? I don't understand. Did the skull suddenly appear there? All you're telling me is that people checked and didn't know what they were doing. That's all you told me. I mean, so what's that proof? Now, there's another mice. Tanya Omer Rabbi Yosef was another mice in a famous Ma'ara. This was the Ma'ara in Chichi, where over there, they had a tradition of a stuma there. So there also, they went into the Ma'ara, and they were bodeg, they dug up the floor, until they got all the way to the karka that was Chalukah Ketziporin. This karka was smooth like glass. I mean, it was clear nobody had ever dug it up. Well, I'm not sure they didn't find any bodies in there. The Yamim, what happened is that they had a flood. And Nichnasu ba'Po'alim ibn Yagishamim. So some Po'alim go in there to hide out from the rains, and one of the sledgehammers falls on the floor, which was loosened by the rain. And Matsu Machteshet, Malayata, the whole thing broke open, they found an entire Machteshet, a whole gigantic bowl, that was filled with a mass burial of bones. So the Chachamim said, well, what is that proof? Misham Raya again. So they made assumptions. They weren't bodek enough. Says Abba Shaul, there was another Maisa in the whole area. but was covered with Sla'im. So it was a very rocky area in Beit Horon. Well, over there they also had a chazakah, but there was two men there. And there was so much ground. I mean, it would have had to bring in bulldozers over there. They hadn't developed bulldozers yet. So they had a little bit of a problem. So they couldn't be... They're going to spend $100,000 to dig up Beit Horon. They couldn't be better. Well, Yashem Zakin Echadrat Yeshua Ben Hanan Yashma. There was an old Talmud Chacham there who said to them, Amar Lam Sedra Yeshua Ben Hanan Yashma, bring me a lot of sheets. So I brought him sheets, bed sheets. If you were sending him, he put these sheets into water and he spread the sheets out over a few acres of ground. And he took the sheets off. Personally, Mokom Tara Yavesh, where there was no chashash, the ground was dry. Where there was a chashash, the ground was wet. Mokom Tuma, lach. Why? Because the place where they had buried, they had dug it up once. So that means that the earth was more loosened and therefore could absorb more moisture. So that area was moist, the other area was dry. And they dug it up. They found a gigantic mass burial place. And the writer said that was the bor that Yishmael ben Netanyahu had filled up with all the people he massacred that were going to Gedaliah. And that's what says in the pasuk, Tichtiv. Yishmael ben Netanyahu went and was Mamalek Chalalim, Tichtiv Abor Asher Shlich Shan Yishmael, that called Pigrea Nashim Asher Hika Biyad Gedaliah. What do you mean, Biyad Gedaliah? Yeah, Biyad Gedaliah, Gedaliah didn't kill anybody. Hello, Gedaliah Argan, hello, Yishmael Argan. Ah, but Gedaliah refused to accept Lashon Hara. Yochanan ben Kareah warned him, Yishmael ben Netanyahu is planning to murder you. It's a disaster. You can't allow that to happen. Chas for Shalom, Sheker, how can you say such a thing? Of course, we always speak about this in Shir. The Churban Abayit was that week, right? So people were coming to the Beit HaMikdash. That's how all these people were coming. They see the Beit HaMikdash is in ruins. They find out that the Melech Bavel appointed Gedaliah. So at least there's some hope. So they're going to all go to Gedaliah. So in that week, he says, what are you nuts? We're going to Mekabel Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. But because he refused to be Mekabel Lashon Hara, that totally destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. As if he murdered all those people. Oh, my Rabbi, I wish Nabi Shapapapir Kabuli, mummy boy. You're not supposed to be Makaba the Lashon Hara, but that's in terms of the relationship that the Lashon Hara means of the way that you view reality. But Maker Shwami boy, you still have to act on the basis of the information. You don't want to believe it, don't believe it. Just make sure that you have a machine gun in your hand whenever Yishmael comes in, that's all. Am I telling you to believe it? I'm not telling you to believe it. I'm just telling you to make sure that you protect yourself. So you're mechuyev to protect yourself. And a big tzaddik can say, I don't listen to Lashon Hara. You're an idiot. And then the Torah blames you. Ma'aleh alav akatav kilu hu argan. He's a major shuni boy. Hanu b'nei Galilah, there were these guys living in the Galil, that rumors were going around that they'd killed somebody. So they came to Rabbi Tarfon and they said to him, you gotta save us, the government's gonna, they're gonna catch us, the cops are looking for us, they're gonna kill us. So they're gonna need Amar. Amar Lusa, he says, what am I supposed to do? If I don't hide you, so then they'll see you and they'll kill you. Kazuya Tarfon. And I don't know, on the other hand, if I do hide you, I have to consider the possibility that you were murderers. If you were murderers, then, so Rashi says, if you were murderers, it's also for me to save you. So everybody takes that to mean that there's some iser, literally an iser in saving a murderer. That's not so partial. The iser in saving a murderer is a number of different shot in what Rashi might be referring to, which is Ubiyar Tara Mikir Becha, or other psukim that they bring, why maybe it would be literally usher to save it. Huh? No, you're not going to help the murderer. That's a misayah to the murderer. But psukim, you're supposed to let the guy drop dead, you know. Then others learn That's not the point. The point over here is, and Tosfos says, what's the issue? So they bring from the Sheiltes that if Lamaisa, you are chayef to the Melech, so then, if that's true, then I am going to end up getting into trouble myself, right? So then that means that I'm going to be mischayef Misa. I don't know if it's true. I mean, obviously that could be what Rashi means. It's also to be Matzah, because I'm not allowed to put myself in Misa. So we have this learned. It's very interesting. I have one of my grandfathers, a great grandfather, Rabbi Lemden, had this Misa happen to him. It's like a crazy Misa in which it was mamish a Misa, but like in the Rover. Everybody had a great minyan in the shtetl. And they built a big Beit HaKnesset. There was this guy who was a really nice guy. He loved davening in his little shtibur. He didn't want to go daven in this new shtibur, in this new chur for Beit HaKnesset. But they were grazing on everybody. Listen, they built a big Beit HaKnesset. You all have to go daven in the chur. Okay, so this guy's getting used to davening in the chur. Meanwhile, this tourist walks in the middle of davening, he lights a pipe. This guy gets so angry that somebody lit a pipe in the middle. He takes the pipe out of the guy's mouth and he smashes it on the floor. And this guy kills him.
The tourist?
Yeah, the tourist murders him. Kills him. Mamish kills him. So the police came, dragged the guy away, and the court was goes there that he should be killed. So the Askanim in town, tiny, we should save him. It's Koyesha court. It's a Jew. And they had different ways that they could have gotten him out of it. They wanted the Yavits to get him out of it. And he absolutely refused. No, let the guy die on a rabba. And even he brought a rifle from his Gemara. Because, it's also to save him. Rashi is also to save him. So that, why should we get involved to try to save the guy? Rabba was only saying, it's out of suffix. But if you were known Vadai, definitely I wouldn't have saved him. So what do you want to get involved for? Let them kill the guy. Little too close to home.
Tourist actually killed him.
Yeah. Where was it at the time? I don't remember where it was at the time. In which town he was at the time, huh? Yeah, somewhere, but I don't know what town the Ivets was rubber. I'm sure my son knows. He's a big bucky and he's family lord. Because I also have a grandmother who came from Svat, from the Leiberman family. And the Leiberman, that's the Sivas and Rabbi Agvenda and so on, that's that whole line.
In the Tolbinan Tlow, there was a rumor before they closed the book, somebody, the gangsters murdered the guy and they threw him down into the pit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Beyond Tlow.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I know, it's famous.
To Masanosa, they said.
Yeah. What are you laughing about? It's a serious thing. All right. Good. Okay. Continues the Gemara. So anyway, so what did he decide to do? He said, listen, I'm not going to actively get involved. Zilo atam tamru nafshach, you go ahead and hide. You want to hide, I'm not going to stop you from hiding. But I can't actively be an accessory to hiding you. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Al Tira. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't have to be worried. What's the truth? You don't have to be worried. Why in the world should Moshe be worried? Basically, Sicha and Va'eg were both brothers. They came, that it says, Beferish, Omer Mar, Sicha and Va'eg, B'nei Achia ben Sham Chazoy. Sham Chazoy was one of the two, he and Hazoel were the two Nephilim, that at the time of the Mabu. And they seem to be exactly the same. So then why is it with Sichon we find Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead? No problems with Sichon. We take care of Sichon. He comes out to meet us. We wipe him out. Again, nothing. So from there we don't have a problem. So why wasn't he afraid of Sichon? Only afraid of Og. Omer Reb Yochanan and Omer Reb Shimon bar Yochai, mitshuvato shel oto tzadik, ata yodea ma haya b'libo. You could see from the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him, you can see what it was to that tzaddik. This is tzaddik Kemesh, as the Rambam says. So you could see what it was that was troubling him, because he was worried. Omar, Shema ta'amot lo tzchut shel Avraham Avinu. How do I know that all of the years that he helped, especially if you hold that Eliezer Eved Avram was of Melech HaBashan. So then we get everything that was done. That's the one of the shitas. But even if not, it says Vayavo Apalit, Vayaged LaAvram HaIvri, V'yom Rabbi Yochanan Zeog Shepalat Midar HaMabu. Who is the Palit? Obviously the Palit is somebody who besides this war managed to escape. So he escaped from the marble. So but if this, in other words, how do we know that that's Og and not Sichon? It must be, Tosfos says that Sichon was also Palit Midar HaMabu, right? So this Tosfos says that's the pshat, since that's Mitzvah Shalosotzat. Since Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Og and not of Sichon, we now know who the Palit was that it's referring to. It's referring to Og and not to Sichon. Fascinating. But if that's the case, it means that according to this, he was Palit Midar HaMabu. I mean, did we ever hear that Sichon was on the side of the Teva and that the whole story was a story only by Og? So how do you account for the fact that Sichon was there also, that would have meant Noach made two holes in the Teva and he was feeding two giants, but it doesn't say that anywhere. So there's a very, very interesting medrash that says that actually Sichon was born of Ham's wife. That Shamchazoi had impregnated the father, their grandchildren, Shamchazoi, Achia, had impregnated, the father of Og, had impregnated her before she got married to Cham. So she went into the Teva as the wife of Cham. She was allowed to go into the Teva. Sichon was born in the Teva, according to this. So he wasn't really Poliet. I mean, he made it through, but he wasn't a Poliet, right? So that's one possibility. Okay. The other story is that Tosfos springs up here from the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that Og is actually called Og because of Avram Avinu. He was called Og because he's cookie monster, and Og is Ugot cookie. That's where they got the cookie monster from. So since he found Avram Avinu, who was making Pesach cookies, so he was making matzahs on Pesach, so they called him Og because of that. So because of that, we know that he must be the one that was together with Avram, that was the sexual Avram Avinu. Okay? Big question. It was Eliezer Eved Avram, how did he get into such big trouble? And we know the Zohar says he had a bris milah, he was afraid of the kayach of bris milah that he had from the source of Avram, meaning bris of Avram. That's how the Zohar understands it. This is a rather fascinating personality, you must admit, and of course coming up this week, Parshas Dvarim is where we're reading it. It's all about Achrei HaKoto et Og. Stay tuned, Be'ezrat Hashem, for the Shabbos. Fine. Okay. Anyway, so Zerok Shabbat Midar Abam, Latan Rabban, Beget Shabbat Bo Keter, Ma'avir Alav Shiva Samamanim Umivatlo. And we have exactly the same issue, what we spoke about. We don't know where it is that this mate disappeared to. That's the Ma'ad of Ardome. So also, if you had a beget that had a ketem in it, I know for a fact it was a ketem. Now, I can't find the ketem. Maybe it fell into the washing machine. Now I washed it. Problem is, washing a ketem does not remove the tumah of the ketem. As we'll see later, there's seven chemicals, particularly in a particular order, that have to be applied to a bloodstain in order to remove it. And therefore, I don't know where to do the work, the Shivas HaMamani. So there's nothing to do. You have to be Mavato, you have to go work on the entire Beget to be Ma'avilah of Shivas HaMamani. And only that way can be Mavato the Dharma, the other Girsa, the Rambam's Girsa, is Umetablo. And then you can be Tevel. She can't be Tevel, not Mavato. She can't be Tevel before. So we're bringing it over here because we talked about the case of the Galim a moment ago. What do you do when you can't find the tomb? I hear you can't find the tomb. You have to treat the entire Beget as if it's tongue. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, no, you don't have to. What you can do is you do a very careful bedika by neighborhood, but shkunot. You take Barnea's neighborhood, for instance. You check that area. So each neighborhood is three etzvot, as we'll see. And if you look carefully, you should be able to find it. If you don't find it, then it's Tyson. If you don't find it, then you can assume it's tar. So, problem is, how does this work? Ask Kaisal Levi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said before, called the Vashayat, you cannot assume that the tumor was lost. And the only reason they're going to argue, because we know the dam came from somewhere, but they agree. They would agree if we have some other explanation. Okay, could be over here that because of the fact that it fell into the water and so on, it could be that it actually disappeared. It happens. Okay, but you see how it's not gathered for. Of Dabo Shechvat Zera, let's say that you have a stain of semen on a beged, but you need to clean it in order to be mat for the beged. You don't know what area needs cleaning. So if it's a new beged, chadash, bot ko b'machat. So over there, because it's a new beged, there's really nothing much you can do in terms of how much light is going to be transmitted through the beged. Or say later on, that's what you do with an old beged. But a new beged is very thick. Thick beged, you won't be able to see a stain by how it limits the light. So what do? You take a needle, and you're boting it with a needle. And there, chadash botko b'machat, because any place where the semen was, there's a thin layer like a gel that's on it that is hardened. So you should be able to tell by sticking a needle into it. If it's an old beged, a shachuk, so then botko b'chamat, hold it up to the sun, then you can see how much, a slight difference in how much light will be transmitted through the beged, then you'll be able to pick up a stain. How about if it was a beged shavad bo kilayim? Tana ein shkuna pruta mishalosh etzbaot. So you could be bodek three etzbaot by three etzbaot with each chelek. Tana rabban a beged shavad bo kilayim. Suppose you know for a fact that there was one little piece of linen that got into this tzemer beged, and you wanted to pull it out, and now you can't find it. Areze lo yim kreni lovet kochavim. Don't sell it to goy because goy can sell it back to Jew. Don't even make it a mardat to keep on the back of a chamor because we're afraid that you may end up needing that material, taking it from the mardat and using it as a patch on a beged. But then you'll be wearing kelayim. The truth is, this is a mardat, a chamor. You'll be sitting on the mardat also. But as the Rosh explains, the issur of sitting on kelayim is only a derabbanan because of a chashash that maybe a thread will get twisted on you. Because it says beged kilayim lo yale alech, it's lo shuripas. So memela, as long as it was actually kilayim in the mardat, you don't have to worry. But we are concerned that you may make use of that mardat. But you can make a tachrichin for a mate, because tachrichin for a mate are also bound up. Therefore, there's no chashash that you're going to take some of the tachrichin to use as a patch. Omer Reb Yosef says, Reb Yosef, that proves that mitzvot are betelot latid lavo. Must be after tchiyat ha-metim, that there's no chiyav of mitzvot, because otherwise how are you putting, you're putting kilayim on a tachrichin of a mate? This poor guy is going to wake up dressed in nisr kilayim. That's ridiculous. How can you do that thing? So, if you're telling me it's mutter, must be there's no nisr kilayim latid lavo. Omer Le Abaya, v'tem Reb Dimi, you're only allowed to do that, to put on a nice beged for the mate, so he should look good for his husband. But you can't bury him in that, because if you bury him in that, he would be over on an Isser Kilayim when he wakes up. You don't want to do that.
And
you can bury him in Tachrichin of Shatnes. Rabbi Yochanan Latayne. This is going to Shitasa. You understand, this is again the famous question. It's different way. You're supposed to put on tzitzit on the beged amei. So the Mefarshim explained it's not really the same sugya. Because if you put on the wheel where Armenegger is, the possible tzitzit. Put on tzitzit, it should be leg or rash. But your possible tzitzit is a small psul. So you place, but what about over here if you're tiny? What if you're tiny not like Rabbi Yochanan? And it's really not negev, because you're not over an iser in not putting in tzitzit to your beged. Guy wakes up, sees his beged, his tzitzit are puzzle, he can put tzitzit in then. Meanwhile, he doesn't have to take off his beged. That's how the Mordechai Paschal is on Shabbos. Somebody finds his tzitzit are puzzle on Shabbos, he doesn't take off his beged. Because he can't, he's not mechuyev now to put in tzitzit. I'm supposed to put in tzitzit on Shabbos. So maybe there's no bitul of the assay. So what's the problem? Shenkei, if you have kilayim in your beged, you have to take the kilayim off. There's no comparison. You have just like, it's fine. Anyway, the Amr of Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan Taina is, my dechti ba meitim chavshi. What is the meaning of the pasuk that says, in the dead are free? So it means they're free from the mitzvah. Yivan shebeit adam natzeh chavshi min ha-mitzvot. He doesn't have to worry, therefore, about the mitzvot. But you can't, as Tosis points out, you can't actually bring a raya from here about the very fact of afterwards waking up. In other words, I would have thought that the whole shaila is, because the Mishnah says beferish and kalayim, that it's not a problem. But Tosis says that could be only as long as he's dead, that there's no iser kalayim. But how do you know that after it becomes alive, there's no iser kalayim? So you see, from here, only from here, that if you can actually, you can actually make tachrich, and he's going to be oimed b'mabushav, so then shmamina, the mitzvah is b'teilas, v'tilavah. Omer Rafram bar papa, Omer of Chista. I'll tell you what to do. If you have a beggar, shavat bar kilayim, dye it. If you dye it, the dye is going to show up differently in the two fabrics. And then, way, you'll be the mutter. Omer le ravel Rafram bar papa. How does Rabbi know that? And you can be semich on that. Minole le sabaha. Omer le, it's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Bodek, it's here right here, our Mishnah, Achimagia Lisela. And what happened if there's no dead body there? Elakimo or if not longer. I'll say whatever, I don't know. An animal came, a birdie came, what's the difference? The dog ate it up. Do I know? It's not here. I'm telling you that the reality is that wool and linen will not absorb dye in the same way. Don't ask me where do I know it from. That's brains. Everybody knows the dye is absorbed differently. So Amar v'kitna ba'adadi lo tzevak lo tzivah. Nobody ever saw that the tzevak comes out the same. So now you're going to say, so how do I know that I can be samech on the fact that I don't see any difference? Because the same way can be samech that you didn't find the difference. Where's the mate? So Hanami, I'll say, give it a loya diem aminta natar. Apparently the thread fell out. Do I know? The dog came and ate it. I don't know what happened to it, but it isn't here. Amar Vakal Breder of Yeva, Bishmeni Mar Zotra. Hi, man. The Rami Chuta de Kitna Beklimi de Amar. Venatke. A guy had put in a little bit of linen inside of a woolen bed. And then he pulled it out. But he's not sure if he got out the whole thing or not. Vlo yada inatek, ilo natek. It's okay. Doesn't have to worry about it. Shapir, tell me why. Because really, my time up, Midioraita, it wasn't even us. Because Midioraita, it has to be Shatnez. Shatnez means Achie Shoa Tavi Venos. Basically, unless, this way, this big machlokas Rashi and Taisvus. Rashi learns that it has to be that these threads were combed together. Shoa means that it's smoothed, shiny, so that is done through combing. Has to be twisted together. And then it needs to be oruv. Now, in this case, these threads were separate threads. The guy went ahead and was oruv into the baguette. So that's an iser derabanan. Since an iser derabanan, and you took it out, so memeli, you can rely, it's a suffragan, it's okay. So Achei Yeshua Tov even knows, the rabanan goes over here. The kiva de lo yada, in natke shari. So because of that, the word goes there here, that you have to be machmir. If you think you took it out, then fine. Then it's a safe. You could be relying that you took it out. Tosus learns that the Shura Tav even knows doesn't mean together. It means only threads that have been Shura and Tavi that then you are orig together. So the Rabbanu regards it for Oruv without there being Shura and Tavi. That's all that it means. That this wasn't the kind of thread that would be Aser al-Shabbos. Matkifla Ravashi, how do you know that Shabbos means Shua Tavi Venos? Maybe it means either Shua. So if you had threads that were brushed together, or they were twisted together, or they were nosed together, they were put in one Ariga together, but how do you know that they have to be all three? And that you say that there's only drop one. But, says the Gemara, we're not worried about that. Because the truth is Ilchata Kamar Zurcha. Why? It has to be all three. Because otherwise, why would the Torah create one word out of three different concepts? Shatnez is not a word. It's an otrikon. So basically, if the Torah is creating an otrikon, instead of using the words of Shua Tavi Venos, it must mean they're all part of this construct that we're calling Shatnez. The Brayta says if you have a colored beged and there's a ketem on it and you can identify the color of the ketem, then it's tamei. Rabbi Natan bar Yosef omer einu metamei mishum ketem. Not true. A colored beged cannot have tuma of ketamim. Shelo tiknu bigdei tzivonim lisha ela la'akela kitmeihem. The only reason that the chachamim were metaken colored underwear for women is in order to avoid problems with ketamim. Tiknu, I said, what, the chachamim give women colored underwear? What are you talking about? My technique, what, there's a takana that you have to wear colored underwear? When they've been paid off by what's the name of the Lancome, what do they call it? No, sorry, okay, I don't mean Taknino. I mean, the only reason they were matur wearing colored underwear is to be makel on ketamim. Hutru, what? You have to be matur colored underwear. There's an iser to wear colored underwear. Bechal da'asiri. Yes, it's during the 9 days. The tzan. Bepulva shelas pasiones. When they were besieging Yerushalayim. So they were gozer on atarot chatanim. The chatanim should not get married wearing the beautiful crowns they used to wear. And they were gozer against the iruz. That was a wedding bells. That's what the goyim took the idea. Wedding bells are ringing. They used to have wedding bells at Jewish weddings. Then they were mevatel that. And they wanted to be mevakesh rigzor al bigdei tzivoni. They wanted to make sure that all these cows would be dressed in white. They shouldn't have any colored clothing. Bichlal. Amri, and they decided, that's the problem I'm saying, they were matir. Hayadifa, it's better not to be gezer on colored clothing. Gedela akela kitmeihem, this way there will be less problems with tuma. Because once it's colored, then there's no way to say that this is dam on a ketem. Ketem is only where we see a mara dam against a white background. If it's not a white background, it's not a ketem bichlal. So the question, of course, is what in the world is the sugya of Og doing here? Smack bang, it has nothing to do with the words that come before. So the Meiri says, well, the very fact that Avraham Avinu got involved in the war means that he was cheshish for what Og was saying. Because essentially Og is saying something that is manipulative. So it's Lishna Bisha. Nonetheless, he reacted and made sure that he took steps in case it was true that it wasn't stam an attack, but he made sure that it was actually true and he took the steps to protect his nephew, who went to rescue Lot. But the Rush, I don't know if there's anybody who understands the Rush. The Rush says such an amazing shot that it's absolutely fabulous, just fabulous. The Rush says something on the surface doesn't make any sense. It says, what does this have to do with here? So he says, look, since we were discussing the issue of Lishna Bisha to be Chayish, so Mamela, it brings in, it could be that there was a misunderstanding in the Rosh that actually was the pshat that the Emiri was saying. So since we were talking about over here, he says, Tema, my Shayach, what does this have to do with the Gemara? So he says that since we were talking about Lishna Bisha, they have to be Chayish. And the truth is, Og was mechaving l'ra'ah, because the Medrash says beferish, that he only wanted to get Avram Avinu involved, so that Avram would get killed, and he would be able to marry Sarah, because he was in love with Sarah. And nonetheless, afilu achi yara Moshe shema ta'amod lo zchut shel Avram. Well, what's that mean? So what the Rosh is saying is mamish astounding. Why is there zchus of Avram? If Lamaisa, all that Og wanted to do was to get Avram Avinu killed. So what kind of schus is that? So the Rush is saying like this. If you tell me that there is a din of not being Makabel Lashon Hara, but to be Chayish for Lashon Hara, what amazing thing does that tell you? Because you tell this to a person on the street, they have no idea what you're talking about. Either you do believe it or don't believe it. What do you mean? Elamai, it's an extremely sophisticated point. The point is that as far as believing information has to do with the personalization of information. That's why when people say, so what do you believe? What you mean believe? Either yes or no. What does Shaykh to believe? Believe has nothing to do with anything, right? What, be in English, when people say, you know, do you believe in evolution? Do you believe? What do you mean to believe? What are we talking about beliefs? We're talking about questions of faith. Yeah, what is it? It's a faith question. LMI, the shot is that when you talk about what is belief, what you're really talking about is how does that information have a personal effect on me? That's what you're saying. The impact, personal impact on me, which is lamaisa, the source of faith in Gan Eden, as the Rambam is masking. Is this approach of personalization. Something means something to you. Means something to me that has something to do other than with its objective informational content. The way to deal with Lashon Hara is therefore not to ignore the Lashon Hara, it's to ignore the personal. Once you ignore the personal, you're dealing with the information. Now the question is the information true or is it not true? Okay, it could be I'm going to get killed by this guy. So that's a purely objective piece of information. Having a machine gun in my hand is a purely objective reaction to that information. Doesn't affect my feelings about anything, my relationship to anything. I love him exactly the same. I just have to be ready to kill him. There's no contradiction between those two things. The only reason in the West it's viewed as a contradiction is because there's no such thing anymore as information that's objective. Everything has become personal. So the whole world lives on Lashon Hara. They don't know, what does that mean? What, is it a joke? Don't be macabre, but hold a machine gun. It sounds like a joke to them. In fact, it's brilliant. But listen to what the Rush is saying. It's mamish. It's like the level of sophistication. Taina's the Rush. That means that in all elements, you have to distinguish between the personal and between the information content. If so, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, okay, he told him that his nephew was captured in order to get him killed. That's not a source. You're right, but forget about that. That's the personal part. How about the fact that he gave him over information that Avraham Avinu was able to act on him on to save Lot? That doesn't change because of the fact that he looked at it personally. That's completely the reality. Avraham Avinu became dependent on the information of Lot and therefore owes him one. If he owes him one, then I'm nervous because that source can end up in the Tavasa. Whoa! Is that gorgeous? It's gorgeous.
Then why don't we owe God
one? Who's to say we don't?
I always thought that the fact that they relate to
it is... That's not true. If, Lamaisa, you become dependent on something, then Hakarat Tovah means you owe that thing. It's like that my Rebbe, Reb Shmuel Evans, used to say this, bring this raya all the time. There's an amazing medrash that says, Ish Bitzri Etzilani. Amazing. So he's telling that she's saying Ish Bitzri. So the medrash says, why did you say Ish Bitzri? Because when she said, thank you for saving me, he said to her, don't thank me. Thank the executioner who was going to kill me, so I had to run away. So because I ran away, I happened to be here. So ultimately, you owe the executioner. So the Medrash says, what's the davar they meant to? To a fisherman, right, who throws his net in the water and ends up taking out a baby that had fallen into the water. No idea. Mother's, oh, thank you, thanks. Don't thank me, thank the fish. This is to say that's exactly the same. Bor sheshatita bebaya, don't throw a stone into it. What is that? A bayim isn't even. It has nothing to do with kavana. It has to do with the reality of the interrelationship of things. That's all. The fact is, this has become an extension of you. You owe it one. It has nothing to do with gratitude. That's the whole point. Gratitude is also a Western concept. It's not gratitude. It's interdependence. So once you've become dependent on something, that thing has a piece of you in it. That means that, it carries around this piece of Avraham Avinu, now I got to worry about it. Points out the rush, but that's only if you can separate the personal aspect from the objective aspect. Wow! I'll tell you, it's enough to just leave you breathless with the absolute brilliance of these people. This is like a throw-out line, you know. But Philo Hachi, you see that he felt it was a schus of Shal Avraham. Gosh. Shalosh nashim shayu yishenot b'mitahachat v'nim sadam tachat ha'emtzait kulam t'meot tachat ha'pnimit shtayim ha'pnimiot t'meot v'chitzona t'ora tachat ha'chitzona shtayim ha'chitzona t'meot v'pnimit t'ora eimodai v'zvan shavu derech magalot ha'mitah avalim avru derech aleha kulam t'meot But Kakat Miyam Venimse Torah, so then she can assume he Torah for Shtaim Tmeyot. But Kushtaim, what's the Torah? They can assume the name Torah. And the Shlishit is Tmeyot. But if Shloshtan Batku Matsu Torah, Kulam Tmeyot. Lamada Vardome. The Gal Tamesh Litarev Mitchne Galim Torim. Batku Akat Miyam Matsu Torah, Utor Shtaim Tmeyot. Shnaim Matsu Torim, Em Torim Shlishit Tmeyot. Shloshtan Venimse Torim, Kulam Tmeyot. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Davar Shu Becheskat Tuma, Lo Lamu Betumato, Ad Shivadalacha Tuma Ekan. V'Chachamim Omrim, Odek, Ad Shibagia L'Sela, Olu Betula. Maishna Reish De Lo Maflig, Maishna Seva De Ka Maflig, Omer Avami B'Mishulavot. But Kacha, Lama Mitil Mazed Dome, I don't get it. No, this is Rabbi Meir. Welcome to Rabbi Meir Rabbi. Maisha bedam de lo plagitu on me, and you're saying definitely tame. Umaisha begal de plagitu. Rabbanan, what do you mean? Bishlama ha tame ma oriv netala. But acha, you're going to have to explain the dam. Hai dami echa hata. Tanya am rabbi meir ma sebi shikma shal kvar saba, shal yu machzikim batuma bat kuvala matzu, liyamim nashva ba ruach hakaratov, nimtza kugolet shal meit, chuvala bikaro. Omlu, what does that prove? Mishom rai? Tanya, Om Reb Yossi, Maaseh b'Maharashal Shichin, Shoyu Machzikim Batuma, Botko Achigi Lekak, Shetach Halakak Tziporen, Lo Matzu, Liyamim Nichlzu Bapalim, Ipnei Hagishamim, Natzu B'Kardimotayim, Matzu Machteshet, Manaya Atzamot, Amru Lo Mishom Raya, Emelo Botko Kotzorcho. Tanya, Abba Shaul, Omer, Maaseh B'Sela Bet Choron, שהיו מחזיקים בתומה, ולא יכלו חכמים לבדוק, בבני שהייתה מרובה. היה שם זקן אחד, רבי ישוע בן חנניה שמו, אמר להם, הביאו לי סדינים, הביאו סדינים שרם במים, ופורסן עליהם, מוקום טהרה יבש, מוקום תומה לך, בודקו מצאו בור גדול מלאי עצמות, תנו הוא הבור שמילא ישמעאל בן נתניה חללים. תכתיב הבור שהשליך שם ישמעאל את כל פגרי אנשים, אשר היכה ביד גדליהו. קביעת גדליהו אורגן, הלא ישמור לאורגן, אלא מתוך שהיה לו לחוש לעצת יוחנן בן קירח ולא חש, מה עליה ולקט ובקילו אורגן. אומר רב, היי משתביש אף ופידו לקבולו, לא מבוי, מאיך יש להם מבוי? הנו בני גדילה, דנפק עליו קל לתוקות ונפשת הקם את רבי תאפר, אומר לה, איזה תמרין מר. אומר לו, what am I supposed to do? אילו התמרין תחו, זוכזו יתאיך ויובידה. התמרין תחו, אומר רבן, I wish to be שאבק את כל בול ללא מבוי, מכש לא מבוי, I may end up killing myself. זילו התון תמרו נפשייך. ויאמר השם ומשה עתירה, מיכת, שיחן ואוג, אחי אב. דאמר, אמר, שיחן ואוג, בני אחי הבא שם חזוי אב. מה ישנו מאוד כמסתווי, מה ישנו משיחן ואוג כמסתווי. אום רבי יוחר, אמר רב שם בר יוחאי, מתשובתו של אותו צדיק, אתה יודע מה היה בליבו? אמר, שם אתה עמוד לו זכותו של אברהם אבינו, שמביא יבוא הפליט ויגיד לאברהם העברי, ואום רבי יוחר, זה אוג שפלט מדור המבו. תן רבונן בגד שעבר בוקט, מעביר עליו שבע סממונים ומבעת לו. רב שם בן הלזר אומר, בודקו שכונות שכונות, עבדו בו שכבת זרע, חדש בודקו במחת, שכוך בודקו בחמה. תנא אין שכונה, פחות משלוש אצבעות. תנא רבנן. בגד שעבד בו כלא אמר, איזה לא ימכרנו להביא כוכבים ולא יעשה נאמר דעת לחמור. אבל עושה במנותק רכין לבית. אומר רב יוזר, או, זאת אומרת, מצוות בטלות לעתיד לבוא. אומר לה, הבאי, הביתם רבדים, ואומר רבוני, אומר רבי ענאי, לא שנה לספדו, בנין החינמי, לקברו זה עושר. אומר לה, תף, להביא את מעולם רבי יוחנן אפילו לקברו, דעת רבי יוחנן לתיימי, דעת רבי יוחנן, מה תכתיב במתים חופשי, כיוון שמת אדם, נעשה חופשי מן המצוות. אמר רפרם בר פאפר מבחיסטה, בגד שעבד בו כליים, צובעו ומותר. אמר לרב לרפרם בר פאפר, נולד לסבא, אמר להם, it's a body cut from a gala cellar. And what if it's not there? How are you going to explain it? Emorim Natala. Zorchinami. It's a fact that Amra Vikita Madari Lasar Gutsifa. Okay? Given that fact, so given the Loyadia, so fine now, you explain it away. Minta Nata, do I know? Amra Vaka, brother of Yeva, Mishmede Marzutra, Hai Man, Dorami Chutta de Kita Maglimi de Amra Venatke. Is this not sure in Natik, Elon Natik? Shabadami, my timer. Because the truth is, when you write a shot, I just show it to everyone knows. In this case, the Rabbanan were gozer, baby, given lo yada. In that case, sorry, matkan lo ravashi, how do you know that it doesn't mean emor? Oshua otovi onos, in which case it would be also mini raita. But the truth is, Hilchata Kamar Sutra, and the basis, minafkin rachman of a chodalishna, sha'atnes. Tan Rabbanan. Beget, savua, metame, mishum, ketem. Rabbi Natan by Yosef, Omen, Matamim Shum Ketim, Shatikno, big dates of under Melisha, Ella Kela Kitmim. What do you mean, Tikno? Where is there a Takona? I mean, Elo Hutru, big dates of under Melisha, Ella Kela Kitmim. What do you mean, Hutru? There's some kind of Isser, and wearing colored underwear. Bechalta Siri in, the Tamba Pumashal Spasionus, Gazula Tarot Chatanim Vala Irus, and Big Shuli Zora, big dates of under That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11. Today's daf is Samach Aleph, Meseches Nida, Tovshin, Samach Hey. We're holding by the Mishnah, which begins with Saber Josh's introduction of Shalosh Nashim Shayu Yishenot B'mita Achat. Yesterday we had a Mishnah that spoke about three women sleeping in the same bed, and there it said that if there's any dam that's found in the Mita, all of them are Tmeis. Today, for some reason, there's the same Mishnah begins, and it says something different. Here it says if three women were sleeping in the same bed, Renimsa Dam Takata and Sa'id, if Dam was found in the one who's sleeping in the middle, so then Kulam Sineyut. But if Takata Plimit, if the Dam is found beneath the one who's closest to the wall, and shtayim ha'pnimiyot meyot v'chitzonat ha'oraz. In other words, whereas the first Mishnah spoke about dam in any place in the Mita implicating all of the three women, over here it's only the one that the dam is found under with the one next to her. So if she's the middle, of course both of them are next to her. But if she's the pnimiyot, only she and the one next to her are tzmeyot. The chitzona is tahora. If the dam is tachat the chitzona, then only the two who are sleeping in the outermost part of the bed, but the pnimit next to the wall, is tahora. Ematai, when do we say that we can rely where the dam was found vis-a-vis the women above the dam? Is dafke bisman she'avru derech margelot amita? This is dafke if, in order to get into the bed, they each one went from the bottom of the bed and didn't want to disturb the one that was sleeping. So they instead of going on the bed the way you normally do and jumping over the person who's sleeping on the outside, they climbed up from the foot of the bed is what I was looking for. Thank you. That's Margalot. The foot of the bed. Avalim Avru Derech Aliyah. If they went now, all of the three of them had gone on the regular entry to the bed, then kulam tmeot, because each one of them ultimately had passed by the spot where we find the dam, and there by the chitzona. So we're certainly not going to say that the pnimit is Torah, because in order to become the pnimit, she passed over that spot. So how do we know when she passed over that spot that she didn't now cause the keta? Botka achat mehem. Here we have now a continuation of the Torah in the opposite direction. In other words, before we had that if one of them is bodeket and is found to be tmeah, and the bodika is immediate, we said yesterday, that only she is tmeah. Over here it's the opposite. Suppose one of them is bodeket et atzma, and she finds herself to be Torah. So then, inachinami, he Torah, indeed, she would be Torah, and only the other two would be Tumeyot. Let's say, botkushtayim umatsu Torah, there's two of them, checked themselves and found themselves to be clean. So indeed, both of them can be tolot, that the dam was from the one who hadn't been bodeket at atzma.
But the moment that all three were bodkot et atzman, and none of them found dam, shloshtanu matzut tara, then of course they all go back to being tameot, because now we don't have who to be tailored in. So the din of taliyah is always, consistently throughout the parak, to find a place where it makes more sense to be tailored, where we're not going to be doing something that is not the same for all. There's a reason to be tailored, but if there's no reason to be tailored over here, they're all precisely the same, so how can we be tailored? You know what this is like? It's like you have a case where there was a gal of avanim tameh. You know that there was a mace beneath one of these piles of stones. And there's a number of piles. You can't remember which one it was that was tameh to tumas mace. So you decide, okay, in order to make a picnic in one area, you're bedek takas achas me, and you find that it's tar. You're not going to be chayshish, there's a mace there. You checked it, it's tar. So now you put a picnic table there, and the assumption now, from this point on, is that the mace was probably in the other two. You're bedek too. Shnayim umatzu tairim. So now both of them are tairim, and now the problem is undoubtedly under the third. So now you have two picnic tables. But now if you're voted to Shlishi, and you also find that it's tar, now there go all your picnic tables, because how can you, now we knew that the mace was somewhere, so now they're all back to where they were. Kulam tmeim divrei Rabbi Meir. Sherabbi Meir omer, kol davar, shehu becheskat tumah, lo'olam hu betumato, shivada lecha tumah hechani. If you knew for a fact that there was tumah here, so how will it help you now to check and say, well, it's not here. Well, it's not here. Whatever. It disappeared into thin air. It looks as you didn't find it. Look properly. You have to look better. It didn't just disappear. You keep checking. You dig. And you dig until you get either to solid stone, or to karka, where it's clear that this karka is betula, was never dug into before, and at that point you don't have to check any further. It's obviously not here. What are you going to say? It magically drilled its way underground for 3 miles. I mean, what? It's not here. That's all. So, Maishna Reisha the Lo Mafik, Maishna Sefer the Kam Mafik. What's the pshat? Yesterday we had a Mishnah talked about three women that were sleeping in the bed. They were all tumei. As it didn't start saying, depends if you find in the middle, you find in the inside. Now all of a sudden, the next Mishnah states exactly the same case. The way it says it, Shalosh Nashim Shal Yushin Abimita Achat, as it says. And over here, all of a sudden, it starts differentiating between the Dambin, the Pnimis, or Wistakas, and Tsoyis. How did that happen?
Which Reisha is it?
The Reisha is the Mishnah we had yesterday. It's the first part of this Mishnah of Shalosh Nashim. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Mi'Yedeinu.
Amen.
Omer Abami b'mishulavot. Now, there's a number of different approaches of it. Rashi has a Gersa that says Reisha b'mishulavot. The first part of the Mishnah was talking about where these three women were intertwined, so to speak, because they're very close to each other. Over there, you can't be b'chalik. Mashenka, the Sefer is talking about that there was a wide bed. Each one had their own place to sleep. Over there, you're only chayish, the ones who are closest to the ketan. Tosis has the opposite, that b'shulavot means each one is in its own place. So in other words, it's all, each one is straight in its own place, referring to the Sefer. Well, same idea. The Gra B'chla has a different pirish because, I mean, it's very unclear to make a difference. I mean, how much is that? What's called b'shulavot? You know? The Mishnah is coming to be Sebes, as Dvarah, to tell you, to be Chayshash, and then it gives no Hezbra, there's no Shir, what's considered to be Mishulavot. He learns, not like the Rishonim, and indeed specifically not like the Rashbam, remember we spoke yesterday, about why it is that when it comes to the Chaluk, so we say, we make an Afkamina of Bedika, Batkarachas, and when it comes to meat, we don't make an afkir. When it comes to meat, we do. Why don't we say the same thing for the shemit? It was machalik between the chalukot, which are one after the other, and the meat was the vasachas. But the grot time is that's the meaning of mishulavot. Mishulavot means that we're talking about the difference between sleeping together in one bed, which is this Mishnah. The other one was talking about that each one slept in the bed, and one after the other, in which case the entire bed was used by all. So it's not trying to talk about a particular place for a particular person, and it's a completely different case. So Bodka Achas, let me ask you something, what is this Lamazet Doima? I understand what it's a clear case, the case of the Gal, it's exactly the same thing. What are we saying Lamazet Doima? You're not illustrating it to make it any easier to understand. By taking a case where there were three piles of stone and there's a mace, it's exactly the same issue. So why are you comparing it in the Mishnah? No, point over here is that this is part of the machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan, where Rabbi Meir tainted, I noticed that in this Mishnah of Dam, nobody argues and says, no, you couldn't find it. Everybody checked themselves. Obviously, the Dam is on none of these women. So you didn't say that. So Halamaza Daima asked Rabbi Meir, so explain to me, that's exactly my shita by the Gal. I said, if you can't find the mace, then all of the Galim are Tameis. And you said, no, can't find the mace isn't here. I, Halamaza Daima. Explain to me why you don't argue with me over here by Ktami. Umayshna begal de palgitu. And why there do you argue? And the Rabbonin's response, which is not recorded in the Mishnah, is Bishlema hasameima orev natla elahacha haidami hecha asa. There's obviously a difference. The Dam, nothing could have taken it away. We're talking about it. It's a ketem. Where did it come from? But over there, we're talking about a mace that is no longer there. So you think, so what happened? A bird came and took away the atzah mace. Well, I don't remember what happened, but it just felt what happened. Tanya Amar Rabbi Meir, Maaseh b'shikma shokvar saba, shayu marzikim batumba, bodku v'lo matzah. I'll tell you a mace shahaya. There was a Kabbalah for years that there was a mace underneath a tree in Kvar Saba, you know, and a huge sycamore tree. And they did a bedika to avoid all of these problems, and they made a park there, they put a park bench there, and everything was fine. Until there was a big storm. And Le'yamim Nashvabo HaRuach, so this big storm is okeret the tree. And now they found Nimtzah Gugolet Shemit Chuvalo Bikaro. They found right in the bottom of the tree, in the roots, they found a skull.
And they didn't find it before.
They hadn't found it before. So you see, what are you going to rely on a bedika? You're going to claim it disappeared. Obviously, they didn't do everything that was necessary. I mean, it was there. They didn't find it. What do you bring me a raya? Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, well, there was a maisa b'mara shel shichin, shayu marzikin batuma. Let me tell you something. There was a maisa that they were by their kol tzarchas, meaning that they got to what certainly appeared to be karka b'sula. You said check to karka b'sula. They found it was mamish, smooth as a fingernail. So they said, well, how did it get this smooth if it had been previously troubled? Apparently, this is ground that had never been touched. And therefore, they relied on it that there was no tumah over here. Again, there was a big storm, and its people went into this ma'ara to protect themselves from the storm. And these guys were miners who had hammers, and they rubbed it with against the wall of the ma'ara, b'kardomotehen, umatzu machteshim le'atzamot. They found whole cisterns full of bones. So over there they checked. You can't say that they didn't check all they should have. They checked all they should have. They found karka psula. Say the Chachamim, why is that all they should have? Why didn't they recognize that such a thing could be, but they have to crack through it? Tanya Abishalom, Maaseh B'Sela Beit Choron, Shoyim Barzikim Batum'ah, V'lo Yochlu Chachamim Lidok, M'nei Shaitan Ruba. Barnea, in your neighborhood. No.
Where's the cell? Beit Choron, I can show you.
You can show us?
Yeah. Cell Beit Choron.
Why are you? It's a Route 443.
Yeah.
Off the road.
No, so you can follow the sign.
You can't, but yeah.
You're not sure if it's right or left.
The old Roman road is in the Arab village. It's a little dangerous to visit.
Okay, so it's a little bit on the outskirts of Barnea's neighborhood. But there was no way to be baiting the whole area. It's covered. It's all of the stone. What are they going to cover the whole area?
Wasn't in Basela Bethron, in a rock?
No. It was the whole surface is rocky, so they had no way to. What are they going to cut through all of the rocks? Are they going to dig bulldozers? How are they going to check it? Vayasham zaken echad Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya Shmo. There was a Zokin who had an Eitzah. Omar lahem haviu li sadinim. As we know, this Eitzah already from Shimon bar Yochai. So bring me sadinim. Haviu lo sadinim. Sheets. And he put these sheets into water. Uparsan avayam, and he spread the sheets out over the rocky ground. And he found Mokum tahara yavesh and Mokum tum'ah lach. So where the ground, there's actually this, we have this girsa, this is the opposite girsa, yovesh v'lach. But it's, if it's referring to the ground, then it's this girsa, it's referring to the sheet, it's the other girsa. So basically the idea is that where the tuma was, the ground had been disturbed. So even though it looks on the surface the same as the other ground, but for mice it's going to be more porous. And therefore it will absorb the moisture from the sheet. So you're saying the makom of the tuma would be lach because it took the water from the sheet through capillary action. The ground absorbed the water. If you have the other gears, it's a reference to the sheet. The sheet was dry in the makom tuma because the ground absorbed the water. And indeed, batku, in that place where there was the makom tuma, they dug and they found a bor gadol malei atzamot in the middle of Beit Choron. And Tana, and the bride that explains where that, what was that doing there? Hu habor shemilei Yishmael ben Netanyahu chalalim. That is the pit that we still, we celebrate, so to speak, that we commemorate that massacre every year. Because that were, those were the people that had been murdered, on Tzom Gedalia by Yishmael ben Netanyahu. And as it says, V'habor asher hishlir sham Yishmael et kol pigrei ha'anashim asher yitcha b'yad Gedaliah. Now, of course, the language is rather strange because, I mean, the murderer was Yishmael, not Gedaliah. He was one of the victims. And when you hear it says, here it says that they were murdered b'yad Gedaliah. V'chi Gedaliah harga, I don't understand. It wasn't Gedaliah who killed them. It was Yishmael who killed them. Ela mitoch shayalo lachush la'atzat Yochanan ben Kireach v'lochash. Since he was warned by Yochanan ben Kireach that Yishmael ben Netanyahu has a plan to murder him. And he completely ignored him. He said, ridiculous. Instead, he invites Yishmael in and makes himself vulnerable. So because of that, it's as if he was the one that caused all of those murders. Ma'ala alava katuv ki ilu hargan. So it's as if he killed them. Therefore it says, Biyad Netanyahu.
And this Makom Kibur was forgotten?
It was forgotten precisely where it was. It was forgotten.
Seems like something you'd...
Only if you're a tourist guy who believes this. Everybody has been in tourism for centuries. Remember, there was a long time nobody was in Beit Horon. There was a group of people, read your Yirmiyahu, a group of people that were coming who had no idea that anything was going on, and they would have squealed. They met him, and so they murdered all of them. In any event, as we always say over on Tzom Gedalia, it's a rather amazing phenomenon, right? That the Churban is caused by Lashon Hara, but the completion of the Churban is caused by the unwillingness to believe Lashon Hara. But Tzom Gedalia, the Rambam's time is the Hashlama of the Churban. That's exactly what it is. The last Tzom of the Churban. Because it was Nichba Gachelas Yisrael, that was the last chance for Gula. Which shows that the solution is not as simple as one might think. You know, there would be somebody who says that the solution to Sinas Chinam is Avas Chinam. No, same thing about Lashon Hara. The solution to Lashon Hara is not to listen to Lashon Hara at all. It's not the solution. Like, even though you're not allowed to be mekabel lashon hara, but you certainly have to be worried about its impact. Therefore, we have a maisa. There was lashon hara about certain people from the Galil that they were murderers. So, and they were being actually chased by the police. So they came to Rabbi Tarfon. And they said to Rabbi Tarfon, you know, we're going to be caught by the police, they're going to kill us, and you should hide us. So Rabbi Tarfon said, and I said, what do I do? Hechi nabit. If I don't hide you, chazur yataych, they're going to see you. On the other hand, if I myself should go hide you, that even though you're not allowed to be makabel, you certainly have to be freshish. Now here there's a very big problem. So what? If you have to be freshish, therefore what? So Rashi says, therefore, Shema harakten v'asur latzil etchem. Maybe you did kill, and I'm not allowed to save you.
Wait, from the Romans they were hiding?
Yeah, from the police, whoever was in charge at the time. The Persian, you know, they second the Persian. Now the Shiltais brings that the Stasis points out that the problem over here is not that it's usher for me to save you, which, as I'll explain in a minute, seems ridiculous on the surface, but rather the problem was that he was afraid that he would get into trouble. So therefore, Bishlema, if it was, in other words, I have to be fresh, maybe it's true, and therefore if it's true, I'll get thrown in jail, and maybe I'll be executed. I'm number chuyav to be Meiser Nefesh for you. But what is Rashi talking about? It's Kuli Alma Meida. This is Chofetz Chaim Paskin is clearly, the halacha of Meichesh Miboy is only make sure that you're not hurt by it. But you have no right to cause any damage to the person about whom the Lashon Hara was said. In other words, let's say you know that by warning somebody that don't go into business with this guy, because I heard that he steals, he gives you false accounting. So you're allowed to say that to somebody, and that person can be cheshish and not go into business with him.
But you're allowed to say that?
Yes, but not if there's going to be direct hezek to the person that you're saying it about, even though you're saying it to save the other person. Let's say you know that this person, because of that, will be gurma hefset to the other person, or he'll call the police on the other, or whatever. So then it's also to even say it in terms of the chashash. So it's not shaykh to say Rav Papa didn't want to save them. What do you mean not save them? Because I'm chayish, so therefore I should say, I have no right to hurt you because I'm chayish. Chayish is only like the shiltas. I have a right to protect myself, but I have no right to act in any way that could bring harm to you.
But he's not. He's just not helping them. You know?
I understand, but not helping in this case is tantamount to murder. But I shouldn't do my chiyuv to you. What's the difference whether it's passive or active? Whoever it is, actually, what's it? Is it to help somebody? Why would it be us to help?
That is good, I think.
Right? Suspected. Why would I be fired for such a thing? As the Shulka says, it's only if I'm going to be damaged by it. So the Rishonim speak out various possibilities of it. One issue is that since he had what to tell them, and in the end he told them, you know what? Why don't you go out? What you should do is zilu aton tamru nafshayich. You go hide yourselves. So in other words, there's a place over there, you'll find already where to hide. So, in other words, since there's an Eitzah over here, so okay, if there's an Eitzah, I'm not causing any damage. I'm just not actively engaged in pretend. There it makes an Afkamina, passive or active, would have to be active. Others learn that it could be there's a unique possibility in this particular case where it's talking about murderers, so you're not sure whether you're going to cause them to murder somebody else. In other words, it's over here, it's because nefesh, if it's true, it's not stunned they murdered somebody. They're murderers, it's a gang of murderers. So over there, the need to be matzel you is not necessarily strong enough. Shvachateres, but anyway, that's what they attempt to say. That's not here. Place of Sarah? On this issue?
Yeah.
I don't remember it was a rush. There's a rush a little bit later on that we're talking. So, therefore, Tamir Latzbach, you go ahead and hide yourself. And that's what they.
That doesn't have to come to Rabbi Tarfon.
He told them where to go. He told them where to go. Chazu, go see over there. You'll find a place already. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Al Tira. It's a shot. Al Tira. The only place HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, don't be afraid, is where he was now approaching Milchemes Og. Mm-hmm. When he was fighting Sihon, we never find HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to reassure him, Al Tira. But why all of a sudden he has to reassure him? You're going to tell me that there was a greater backbone to Og? Sichon v'Og achi havi. The truth is that Sichon and Og were brothers. Because the Omar Mar, Sichon v'Og were both b'nei achya ben sham chazoi havi. So they were both from the time of the Nephilim. And that means that they both were basically B'nai Elohim. I mean, if he's terrified of that, then what's left? Mean, Og or Sichon? So, Maishlami Og de Kamistafi, Maishlami Sichon de Loka Mistafi. Nobody wants to start up with the Nephilim. I understand that. But that obviously is not the issue here. Because they were both Nephilim. Omer of Yochin and Omer of Shimon bar Yochai, Nichuvato Shilotot Tzadik at Ayodea Ma'ayah B'li Bodo. From listening to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him.
Also Tzadik is
the one. Well, it could be the Moshe. It was the tshuva that was given to Moshe. He needed. You know what he must have been thinking. Because he was afraid, Amar, Shema ta'amud lo zechut shel Avraham Avinu. How can I necessarily triumph over a guy like this, where Avraham Avinu was mechuyev to makor hasteva? So it turns out that the whole schus, really, this is a pella, it's not schus b'yalma, it's the schus Eretz Yisrael of Avram Avinu. Because from this milchama with the Rephaim, Avram Avinu is zochet Eretz Rephaim, which is Eretz Yisrael. Right? As the Pesuk identifies it again and again. Eretz Rephaim yekashev afi, but that goes to B'nai Lot. This is also Eretz Rephaim. That goes to B'nai Esav. This is the Eretz Rephaim Shiftachti L'Avraham Avinu. In other words, because Og came, and he was the one who warned Avram to get him into this war, how do we know it's Og? It says, Apalit. Ram Rav Yochanan says, Og. Shepalat midor hamabul. The reason we call him the Palit is because he was Og. Now, of course, the problem is, if the two of them were brothers, was also Palat Midor HaMabul. How can we identify him as the Palit? So Tosfos asks, is it Nafkamina if what's Sichon? What's Nafkamina? Right? So you say the point over here, the way that we know which one it is Gufa, we've got to be calling him the Palit because it's the one that Moshe was afraid of. In other words, the two drushes are interrelated. And this ends up being why he's called Og. He's called Og because Avram was baking matzos. Because it was Pesach. So he's called Og al shem neugihot. However, the Marshah brings a medrash. The Marshah brings a medrash in which he says Sichon is Og's brother, all right. But he's Og's brother from an illicit relationship that Shem Chazai had with Ishtar Shofam. So he was born in the Teva. So he didn't escape the Mabul.
Yeah. wasn't a poet.
There's a younger brother, so he wasn't a poet. So Mamela, he's not included. It's interesting. It's not as a result of the Gemara. It's not such a matter. I'll leave with that membership.
Sichon was born on the Teva?
No, it's a Sichon who was born from Shamkaza, from Afiyam and Shamkaza.
But he could be born after
that. Whatever, yeah. Well, I mean, it would mean that they were Mishameshes the Teva. I mean, I assume she was only pregnant for 9 months. But, okay.
And
Oak,
is he on the ledge of the Teva? How was Oak saved?
So that's the Gemara of Ochran that he went to Eretz Yisrael. There was no marble in Eretz Yisrael. That's one chowder that it depends if you hold your marble Eretz Yisrael. Just to the Mandyam. My Mandyam says he stayed around the table. When the table was cool.
The
Yomer of Yochanan.
Well put.
Ze Og Shepalat Midor HaMabu. Tanarabonim. Another case of by the way, just as an aside, there's a number of one issue my Rebbe always used to say is that you see from here that the Indian of Hakparas Teva, because he was afraid of the schus of Avram, so in other words, Avram Avinu owed him this. But the thing is that the reason that Og told Avram Avinu, it says, is to get him killed. So the schus of Avram Avinu was trying to murder Avram Avinu. So Chaim says, see, there's no, that has nothing to do with it. Hakparas Teva isn't measured by the other person's intent. It's measured by the reality of the type. It's
a favor.
It's Tova. It's a favor. It's Tova. Your life is dependent on these events, and therefore it's like not throwing a stone in a well you drank from. The well had intent, the well cares. This becomes part of you. It's an extension of you, and there's no way to avoid it. It doesn't matter what the intent is. Which is very central to the whole idea of Kibbut Av Ve Aim. It doesn't matter what doesn't matter if you're a mistake, or if they try to kill you, or if they, you know, it has nothing to do with it. The Indian of Hakparas Teva has nothing to do with people caring about you. Maybe they wanted to destroy you. Like over here. But because of that medrash, Tosfos brings over here that that's really why we bring the sugya. Because what it looks like we're talking about over here is the same thing. To be chayish v'lishna bishna. When O comes along and he says, listen, this is happening. So what do you do? It's certainly a chash that he's trying to come there and to kill you. He just wants to get you killed off. So it has to do with the sugya of Yishmael ben Netanyahu from Gedalia. Turn around. Beged, a further case of losing things and then not being able to find where they're located, like the case of the Tuma, is a case we have a beged sh'avad bo ketem. You have a piece of clothing where you know there once was a ketem. Now you can't find the ketem. So here the problem is similar to the gal that you can't find the tumah. How is it you can't find the ketem? Either water fell on it, so now it's not noticeable on the surface, or blood from an animal, let's say, fell over the beged. So now you want to find the area where the ketem was, but it all looks the same. What are you going to do? Ma'avirolav shiv'a samamanim uvevatlo. We'll see in the next Mishnah that there are seven chemicals that you put over a ketem, and that is mevatlo v'tumas ha-ketem. It takes out the blood. Tosfos points out earlier, by the way, from the Mishnah about the chaluk, where it had been washed. The whole sugya about, remember that it's the derech of Bnei Yisrael to be baidek, their begadim, by the wash, right? Mm-hmm. A few days ago. Now Tosis proves from the sugya over there, the cheskos on mitchabeset, that it's not shaykh to say you need shiva samamonim, because you can't, then would there be cheskos mitchabeset? So where's the shiva samamonim? Shiva samamonim is where you didn't do a good kibbutz. In other words, a normal kibbutz, you're going to put the beged through a washing machine, you don't need shiva samamonim. We're talking over here to identify things where you can't, but it needs dry cleaning, you don't have it, whatever it is. You're not putting it through a washing machine. That's where you get shiva samamonim. But a kibbutz tov is certainly sufficient to take out any, it's not magic, shiva samamonim. Many times it's borrowed from the sugya earlier. We want to find out where the area is of the keter and how we can be mevatel the keter. Get rid of it. But if I get rid of that area of the ketem, then I won't have a blood stain here.
So it won't be Tame further.
Yeah, the beged, I'll not be able to put in the mikveh. Whereas if I put in the mikveh, the ketem is still there. What good is it? I have to take off the ketem. Rav Shimon ben Elozer, I'm there. Rav Shimon ben Elozer says, look, I mean, the fact is you can be bedek shkuna shkuna. In other words, if you check each part of the beggar, we'll see later. Shchunah is a grid. You make a grid on the beggar. It's three etzvot by three etzvot. It's a small area. Each area is looked at carefully. If you look at each area carefully, you'll certainly be able to detect it. Even if it's talking about the case where there was blood of an animal that got spread on, you see the difference. It's just that in a casual inspection, you don't see the difference. Let's say you have shechvat zera that was on a beged. Again, you don't want to put the whole thing to the washing machine. So two, you want to put the beged into the mikveh. But how do you know what area you have to clean? So abdabo shechvat zera. Chadash, if the beged is a new beged. Then there's a problem, because a new beged is very thick. The material hasn't been washed down yet, so it's not constricted into its shesiva aret. So over there, botko b'machat. You take a pin, and you steer it, or a needle, and you stick it through the different areas of the bag, and you keep poking until you find a place where it's more crackly and it's more difficult to penetrate. If it's a baguette that was shachuk, so now it's already been washed and used before, there it's simple to be bodek, you botko b'chama. Hold the baguette up to the light, and you'll see the area that has a stain doesn't allow quite the same amount of light through. Tana, ein shchuna b'chuta mishalosh etzvot. When we're talking about checking on a grid, the size of each square in the grid is 3 by 3 etzvot. Tana rabbanan, in another case where we have something lost in a beged, is beged shavat bo kilayim. You had a beged, and you have, let's say, a whole beged of linen. And you know that a thread of wool of the same color, undyed, you don't see the difference between them, is in here somewhere. Now you can't say, okay, so it's batel. Because kilayim, you can only be mevatel something when one thing is this or one thing is that there. Obviously you can't be mevatel something where the mixture itself is what makes everything awesome. So that's not an eitzah. So what are you going to do? So you better make sure, obviously, you don't wear that thing. Don't sell it to a goy. Because a goy could now, he doesn't care, he'll sell it back to a Jew. There's no way to identify it here that it's shot. It looks like a regular piece of linen. You shouldn't even use it for a chamor. This is not even a chamor for Pirkas Ben Yair. Maybe you wouldn't want to wear shabbos, you know. But you can't use it because, again, you never know when it would be used for the patch of material. However, you can use it to make takrichin. Because since takrichin are usher ba'anah, so it'll never come to be used.
It's not like loy to rush.
The met is not chayim, the line.
Omer of Yosef, zot omeret, mitzvot b'telot latid lavo. From here you see that there's no problem of giving a mace kilayim. So here, of course, this is a big sugya, okay, but there's this interesting Yeshita Sarajba over here that it's not shy to say, what if a mace, it comes back to life, he would be potter for mitzvahs. Why would he be potter for mitzvahs?
So much. B'shas
b'chiyas amazim. Right?
You have to change the clothes.
B'shas but as soon as he wakes up, he's wearing kilayim. That's terrible. So he learns the pshat latid lavo doesn't mean b'shas atchia. Latid lavo means b'shas misa. In other words, that it's mutter to be geirim, a mace, to be doing things, so to speak, that are also for a chai, like wearing kilayim. There's no problem in that.
Before he dies?
No, he's not amazed before he dies. While he's dead. Before he's alive again. Yeah. Not while he's alive.
But But before he wakes up again,
before he wakes up, he so therefore we'll see him then. Omale Avaya Vitame Ravdimi Vomra Money Rabiani Lo Shano Elala Sabdo Avalakovro Asur. I mean, he can't bring him in a Beget Kilayim and Shatna is over here, so we're going to use a Takrifin. You're only allowed to use these Takrifin for a Hesped. Now, this makes good sense if that's the chat. In other words, when you know he's a mace, fine. Now you're big maspid in me. He's not going to get up now. In the middle of the Hesped? That would ruin the Hesped. It's got to be. Such things have happened.
I feel very offended.
Such things have happened. No, such things have really happened. But, but in a chinami, you wouldn't be able to bury him. But I mean, if you don't learn that, if you learn that it's be'emes, mitzvah, so begabi, betelos, vatsilavo, like everybody else learns, that it means there's no b'shas atchia, there's no mitzvahs, so then what's not gemina? You understand the difference between hesped and kever. The achronim say a very cute hesped, which says cute. Is that kilayim is only also derech halah. So for the hesped, it's sort of like mechreksus. But in a kever already, that's the way the mace is going to be sleeping. So it becomes derech halos. Now it's awesome. It's the way in which you would normally wear the kilayim. So this is normally the way you'd wear the kilayim.
Question of the
loy
of the
mace. No, loy l'rash is to show that you have something that the mace doesn't have. That would be to around the mace.
It's sort of kilayim.
Yeah, but it's only where you show the difference between yourself and the mace. We can do mitzvahs, you can't do mitzvahs. That's loy l'rash, but not to be noyeg a mitzvah doesn't matter.
Well, I say that where it sits is as opposed to...
No, it's not that. It's that if you're not doing something that it shows the difference between the two of you...
I'm not wearing Klein, he is.
That's
not wearing, exactly.
Not wearing.
Not wearing, that's a joke. I'm going to put on my sixes, it should make sense.
Not even
tight,
but... Right.
Omalei Abaya, so what about I? It says it's us from the Cobra. Omalei, no, that's the Shita of Rabbi Yannai. The Lavit Malom Rabbi Yochanan Afilu L'Kovra. The Maisa Rabbi Yochanan says, you can be Kovra Mace that way too. And this is Rabbi Yochanan Shita. So the Om Rabbi Yochanan, what's the Pshat? The Torah, Dovin HaMelech writes, Vameitim Chofshi. What do you mean? So you're free when you're dead. What does that mean? Kivan Shemet Adam Nasech Chofshi Min HaMitzvot. That once a person dies, so he's now free from mitzvahs. It's free from mitzvahs. This not defines a permanent state. Not ba'meitim chafshi while he's dead. But in having died, he becomes free of mitzvahs.
Is that a reversal of proposition?
Not according to almost everyone. I said according to the Rashi, nothing else. It's only the state of death. This is a famous author, Kovit Shurin, talks about this whole, how could mitzvahs be tell us what's in love, isn't that a din in Kabbalah Sotera, the mitzvahs are never brought over. That's it. I don't think it's much of a question, but anyway, but he uses Vameitim Chofshi as a din in mitzvahs. In other words, if somebody would die now and be brought back to life now, when you're telling me Yashka wasn't Mechuyev, was Mechuyev in mitzvahs, but he wasn't Mechuyev.
After death experience.
Having died, you're never going to be Chayev in mitzvahs. That explains why he says to everybody, you don't have to do this anymore. I'm already dead.
The verbal proposition was that someone.
Wait, it's not that he passed for Shalom, was
over. If someone says that Hafshi bin Mitzvah.
It's not a problem, because anybody who believes in is Nefshat Kemes.
If someone says that Hafshi bin Mitzvah, he's considered dead.
He ignores the Shepamekim,
Yeah, because having died. The mace becomes now, so everybody becomes Potter, and a mitzvah is Bemisa, and then Tria is not a Bekleid again.
So won't
be Chayav. That's not according to that sheet, it won't be Chayav. Rabbi Yochanan holds it.
There's no sheet.
There's no mitzvah. Omar Alei Rav Al Rafram Bar Papa. Oh, sorry, that's not
it. Omar Rafram
Bar Papa. Beget Shavah Bo Kilayim, Tzov O, Umotah. What you can do is you simply dye it. Since Semer and Vishtim don't absorb dye the same way, wool absorbs dye much better than linen. As I mean, anybody can see. Part of the shop is testing, right? So you could be so bad. If you don't find anything in it, so then it becomes mutter. Must be. I didn't find it. I'm like, Rabbi, Rabbi, not like Lissaba, huh? How does Rebbe know this? Oh my life, what do you mean? That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Bedek Atchim Agiel Lissela, and the Chachamim will argue on Rebbe Meir, they say, that if it's not there, Eimer Orev Natala? No. So Hoki Nami, it's exactly the same thing in this case. The Amri Mekitna Bahadadi Lassalik Lutziva. You should say Kihadadi, certainly the way Rashi is learning. That wool and linen do not absorb dye the same way. If I don't see any thread that's absorbing the dye differently, so then clearly mint are not. I mean, same way they're going to say an orev was not of a maize, certainly say that this thread was pulled out, it caught on something, was taken out. What's the problem? Om Rav Acha Bereg Rav Yeva Mishmeh Nebar Zutra. Hai man, the Rami Chuta the Kitna Beglima the Amra, the Natke. A guy who accidentally he had put in some of the, maybe even as a marker or something, he had put in some linen into his wool baguette, and then he pulled it out, the derech of the tailors to do after they make the baguette. They have the marker to it, what do they call them?
Base
thing. And he pulled it out. But he's not 100% sure that he got out the whole thing. So the lo yada, not the gilo, not the shop. So he's not sure whether it took out or not, sharp, but it's still okay. What do you mean it's still okay? I'll tell you why it's still okay. Because the Iker Midiraisa, this isn't even Kilayim.
Wow.
My time. Midiraisa, you need to have Shatnez. What is Shatnez? The Torah writes the word Shatnez. Shatnez, we understand, is a remez as a gematria, as a notrican, meaning that it has to be Shoah, which is Shah, and it has to be Ta'ah, and it has to be Tavui, and it has to be Nates, it has to be Woven. That's how Rashi learns. So that the way Rashi understands the sugya is that it's only sharp as if from the beginning of the process till the end, the threads were processed together. So in other words, first of all, you notice the lashon shua. Shua comes from the lashon of smooth, right? Shi'i. So mishi, lemishi, as it says in the Navi. So that means something that's smooth. Well, that means that it's been combed. So Rashi learns it means it's been combed together. Not that I combed separately the linen and separately the wool. And then I spun it. I spun it together.
It's not either of the three?
No.
It has to be all three.
And then I made a baguette out of it. So if I make a baguette out of such threads, then I have Shabbos D'Oraisa. Now obviously, I don't have that here. To which Tosfos says that's impossible. For a very simple reason. Then we don't need a heter of Kilayim by Tzitzit. They're separate. And the whole sugya of Tzitzit shows that that's not true. You say you have a baguette of Pishtit. Mm-hmm. You put in threads of Tzemer. So, what's the problem? According to Rashi, that's not Kilayim. Seems to be an incontrovertible question. Well, I mean, the Pharisees said you're not like that. I mean, there are the Rishonim who answer Rashi is not Kamina between making a baguette and tying chutim together. Over there we're more marked.
On tying things together we're more marked.
If it's tied specifically, as opposed to a weave is loosely held together. So loosely held together is only if it's actually created from beginning to end that the baguette should be sharpness. But to have it tied, which is the chiyuv, I mean, that the Gemara is good for the dayak, for the fact that you need the heter, you see that kesher olyan is the d'oraisa. Right? Because otherwise it means why the Torah have to remind you, put in the tzitzis and don't tie it in a way. Then makes it kilayim. So clearly, you have to tie it. So it must be that this is from Mishainim, this is not in the Miri, says this Mishainim, quoting others. So, that's one approach. But in any event, Tosfos says that this is a complete misunderstanding of the sugya. It means each one together. Each one alone. Not that they have to be done together. The point over here is that, and by the way, he says, and nose does not mean oruk. Nose means shazur. Shazur simply means that after the spinning process, you twist the threads, which like you have in the tzitzis. Mm-hmm. You don't have a thread. You have threads that are twisted around each other to create, see, it's like ptil. Dor ikesh uptalto. Mitptalto, he brings that the Lashon is the same as nose when we're metargan. So therefore, it's a completely different thing. So what does that have to do with our sug? Yeah? Just because we're talking about over here a thread. A normal thread is not shazer.
Yeah, but a normal piece of thread
is not shazer. The thread itself is not shazer. And therefore, we're not dealing with the deraisa.
But
tzitzis would be deraisa. Tzitzis is shazer, and therefore it's deraisa.
What? Twirling around?
Look at your tzitzis.
Which part makes it deraisa?
After you have the threads, you stretch the threads out on this long. You've seen it done, right?
No,
that was
the first explanation has to be woven
that's
together.
That's Tosfos. Yeah. No, the first explanation woven is Rashi. But that shazer means that the threads all have to be twisted after they're threads.
Kalayim?
No, no, themselves. That? Each one said, no, perfectly kosher wool.
Right. So in a weave, perfectly you don't kosher. Have that.
What?
In a weave, you don't have that. This baggage we
I'm doing something wrong. Clearly. I'm not explaining myself. Rashi learned Shua Tavi Venoz means the threads together have to be Shua Tavi Venoz. And the nose is a reference to not Shazur, but to Arug. Over here, that's not what you have.
Because you have a single linen thread inside a wool garment.
Yes, and you don't have it made originally with the linen. So the linen and wool together.
That's not Shatnas
Midi Rice. Tosra says that would be Shatnas Midi Rice. The problem over here is that Rashi mistranslates the word nose, number one. And number two, he adds that it has to be together. That's those two things are a mistake. They don't have to be together. Each one has to be separately, Shua, Tavi, and nose. And then if they're together, those types of threads of Semer that Shua, Tavi, and nose, and Pishta that Shua, Tavi, and nose, then if it's put together in a beged, it becomes Kilayim.
And so what Shabbos just teaches us what the threads have to be?
Exactly.
Okay.
Now the Shaila is, what's wrong here then? So why isn't it Shua Tavim and nose? It's talking about Ichut. And Ichut isn't Shazam. Now all the Gemara is saying it's not the Arisa because it's not nose. Mm-hmm. That's all. So Mamela, it isn't the Arisa according to either of them, but for very, very different reasons. So it's only the Rabbanan who goes through that. The Kima de lo yada. So indicate, you don't know now, okay? So the Mela, you have a Suffolk de Rabbanan on it. You have a Suffolk de Rabbanan, so you can be made. Matzke Rav Ashi, answer Rav Ashi, who's to say that you need the threats to be Shua, Tavi, and Nose? Maybe the Pshat is Shua, Tavi, or Nose. In which case, so what's, according to Tosis, so what's the problem? You don't have Nose, so? But you have Shua. You have Tavi. So what's the difference if you have nose? And according to Rashi, what's the problem over here? That you don't have the Shua Vatavi? Okay, but you have the nose, because now they're all together. So what should be also the Arisa? No, it can't mean that. The truth is that Marzutra is clearly right. It has to be all together. Why all together? Since the Torah says it all together, in one funny word, Shatnez, that's the point, is that it's saying there's a state called Shatnez, that if you break up that state, you see it has three in Yonim in it. Shoa, Tavi, and Nos. So you can't separate them in this way. Turn around. Beget Savua, Mitame Mishum Ketem. Even if you have now a Beget, where the beged is colored, and therefore you can't really see the ketem against the color. Doesn't matter. If there's a ketem of dam there, why wouldn't it be betame? Reb Nosson Bar Yossi says, that's the whole point, my friend, is that ein no betame mishum ketem, shelo tiknu bigdei tzivonim liisha, ela la'akel al kitveyem. The whole point of making a takona of colored underwear for women is in order to avoid problems with ketamim. Tiknu, what are you talking about? Well, you work for a Gap or something? I understand. What do you mean, tiknu? Whoever heard this? A takana of selling colored underwear to women? My taknina, what are you referring to, Bechlal? Sorry, okay, I shouldn't say that language. Shalom, who true? Big day, tzivonim. The truth is, we would have answered the Gap. And we would have insisted that you cannot wear colored underwear. But we were mocked here in order to make it easy because of ketamim. What do you mean, Matya? What's wrong with wearing colored underwear? I'm saying, nah, you're driving me crazy. First you say, in fact, you have to. Then you're saying, you're allowed to. Why do you have to? And why do you need to tell me you have to? You're allowed to. What's the problem? Michlalda Azira, you're telling me there's an Isser in wearing color. Yes, there would have been an Isser wearing color. After the Churban, the Pumba Shel Espanius, they were gozu al atarot chatanim. First of all, they were gozu the chatanim used to wear an atara, according to Rashi, on their heads. According to others, it's the way in which the chuppah was constructed. The ala iros, and they also assert certain musical instruments that are, you know, like a bell, brilliance. Bikshu l'gzara, b'tetzivonim, they wanted to assert wearing anything colorful, so that you would always be in a state of mourning. People would wear black suits or something. No. Yeah. So they said, it's better not to make that gezerah, because then women won't wear colored, and then they'll always have shaylas. The Rambam paskins that they were misaking to wear colored. Not like the sunyat. Says tikna that they should wear. He quotes the first part of the sunyat, he ignores the fact that they can wear a left off the tikkun. It's unbelievable. Of course, everybody asked them. I guess the mission was going on. This thing is the opposite. How can you learn like that?
This is all over that month, and then during 7 days to wear the white.
That's because over there you're looking for Nikian. But generally speaking, we want to make sure that you don't have problems with Ksami. Wait, let me just finish the thing on the round. Right, so in other words, the Shaila is whether, that's how the Aura Planeta learns in the Sugya, maybe this is. At the end of the sugya, once we said shehutru, so then already we no longer have to say that there was no takana. Mm-hmm. Because the shaila of here is you're saying, some say the simple response is that tiknu means eitzatot. But in a way that's even more problematic, because I mean, the Gemara could have said that too. We don't mean tiknu, you have to. You know, we just mean that it's okay, it's a good idea. But the Rambam is saying, Mashmid is saying it, Lefizet. So he learns that in the way the sugya worked itself out, once we turn out saying that you needed to say bedavka that we should be matir, like this we were shocked. I understand, what's in anybody's business what color underwear people are wearing, right? But once you're ready to say, no, Lemaisa, there would have been an Isser. So we needed to be matir. So that means, if you need it to be moderate, you're telling me that it's an important thing. It's more chashuv that we should make sure that a woman doesn't have necessarily a ketem than that we should be mesabel on the churban. So in other words, so it means if you're measuring it up against the takona of asering the satani or asering the zug, you're saying this takana is better. So if that's the case, then it's a takana already. Because you're saying it's more chashuv than a takana. So at the end of the sugya, once we've seen that it was bedavka we did it, can negate another takana, so it becomes a takana.
You're imposing it against what would have been the tremendous.
You're imposing its logic and its necessity against what should have been a takana, which we're already misciting, where it wasn't against this. So you see, it must be that the Chachom Yibald is very important. The same darg as a takana. So Mamele, he says, tikna. It was only in a Havamina that we didn't want to say
this. This is only after the Churban. During the Churban, they would not be allowed to wear the Tzivonim.
What do you mean during the Churban?
I mean, during the Bayit.
During the Bayit?
During the Bayit, they would not be allowed to wear, because then we would be looking for Ketamim.
No, not necessarily. Why would you be looking? The whole thing is only the Rabbanan anyway, remember.
Try to hide the Tzivonim.
Unless your tainus, if somebody was mitsuyas, but the tainus maybe, or would touch him.
What is the color?
It's an interesting question. I don't know.
It's color.
What does the color of underwear have to do with the color of clothes being in mourning? I mean, no one sees it.
Yeah, is it?
No, I say right. Underwear means clothing, but remember, they didn't have underwear. We pointed that out before, that the Achronim are mechalik between Sholosh Chalukas, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Their begunim were not fitted in such a way that they couldn't move up and down. That's clear, because otherwise the whole circuit didn't make sense. I'm saying in our terms, we talk about an underwear, and their terms stand by all of the begunim that are shayach to. Okay, very good. Wasn't that fun?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. They made no gezeira. It can't be. It can't be that you can't be mopping, because otherwise, what are you saying? Yesh b'mishum kefer.
Well, this is what I was trying to. I
so, in other words, okay, you'd have to figure. You'd have to check it maybe while it's still wet, or it would depend what type of color it is, if you could or not. It doesn't matter.
It's color
block,
and you check, you knew what it
looked
like, and then you found
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if
it's
still.
There's no ketzer. There's no takonef sunim on begadim that are colored.
So then it would just be an eitzer tova.
You could say eitzer tova. I'm saying some of the achronim say it means eitzer tova. It doesn't mean literally. But in the context of the lashon of the Gemara, then you'd have to ask, why did the Gemara think of that terrace? If the Rambam was smart enough to think of it, they couldn't have thought of it themselves.